Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
It's not fat shaming.
It's fat celebrating.
When is the fat pride parade, by the way? It's only a block long. Everyone runs out of energy.
You are looking live at the world's slowest moving parade.
Boy, are you fat.
The marching band is only tuba players. And the best part about that is that Rick Camp played the tuba. I believe at NIU.
Keep them coming. Text line.
Instead of a bunch of little clowns getting out of a car, it's one fat clown trying to get out of a smart car.
Boom, baba, boom, baba, boom.
Don't pay any attention to those fools, lard ass.
Texter comes in and says the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is the lead car.
Oh, it's not fair. I always wanted to drive a food-shaped car.
The steering wheel is a giant onion ring.
They thought of everything.
Everyone follow the wiener.
Oh, God.
Wait, what?
Nice and clean.
Was that easy?
Everyone follow the wiener.
That worked out.
Oh, and I gave it to you.
Well,
are we going to bring that back? Right?
Let's freeze it right about now. Go ahead and roll it.
Everyone follow the wiener. Everyone follow the wiener. Everyone follow the wiener. Everyone follow the wiener. Follow the wiener.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I'm not embarrassed. Sounds like a good idea.
Man, wieners are delicious. They really are. Wiener cars, I imagine, would be incredibly fun to drive and fun to be around.
Yeah. Just if you see one, you want to follow it.
I would.
Yeah. Especially at the front of a parade. You got to follow the leader, so follow the wiener. This hour on The Score brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store, and this segment is brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras, plus applicable tax, no additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Woo! How you doing over there, buddy?
I'm going through some stuff.
Yeah, you guys, stuff's going through you. We're just broadcasting in a kitchen, you know? You don't have to take it to heart.
Yeah, there's a kitchen, and then there's a bathroom around the corner, right?
Yeah, if you need to go somewhere.
All right. Dan, carry on for a second here.
Okay.
Rambling Grimace Revisited.
Dude. Someone step on a duck.
Oh, yeah. No, everything's fine.
Okay, good.
Everything's totally fine.
I appreciate that.
Are you sure?
That was Ramblin' Grimace to the men's room. Out of nowhere.
Dude, I have
we're bringing back all the classics today.
We really are.
To this day, anytime I drive by the home, home was the place that...
Yes.
The I don't know what the bar, the restaurant,
the house venue. Of music and entertainment in Arlington Heights, I believe.
It's
right?
All I think of is, wow, that's where Ramblin' Grimace was born.
Yeah. Ramblin' Grimace!
That's where Spiegel stumbled off to a bathroom after doing a shaky dance that I still can't describe properly.
Well, back in the Spiegel and Parkins days, you know, I normally broadcast with one ear off of my headphones. It's just I prefer to do it that way. And so Spiegel would sometimes, you know... have that happen, and you would maybe forget that I don't have both of my ears covered with the headphones.
That's exactly right.
And so I hear it plainly and just look at him like, bro, someone else is here.
I figure
we all do it.
We're men, we're friends.
Of course.
You know, it's fine. And I mistakenly make the assumption that you would be a professional and not bring it up.
But you were
not
wrong.
Not that talent level.
Right.
Jim Bowden joining a show.
Well, that was your first mistake, Speaks. Yeah. I'm the follow the wiener guy, okay? You can't assume me to be professional. Did you hear me sing on any of the 8 tracks in the Mitch album?
Nine, sir.
9?
Yes.
Okay. Remember when it's the lowest form of conversation.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Touche.
Danny's really had enough of the entire thing.
Oh,
I think so.
Can't wait for you.
Well, yesterday, Danny's telling everyone how I hate it here and I hate everyone and I don't want to be on the show. And after the show, I'm like, dude, what the hell?
Dude,
it's just not true.
I apologized immediately. In the context of the song, when I initially said, Tanny hates this, I think it was true.
And then he said at the end of the show, Danny hates it here.
Yeah, without any context from the 30 minutes before when we had played the song. And what did I do immediately after the show?
You apologized.
I apologized. I know.
I appreciate you.
Tanny likes it here, I think. But yeah.
You're not really helping the situation.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm the worst. But any... Did you get that clean? I can say it again. I'm the worst.
You're right.
Yeah, there it is. But you mentioned something in passing there when we were talking about Joe Madden, the idea of hunger. And I will talk to Jed Hoyer about this tomorrow. Since Nick Castellanos has been on the Cubs, he has been incredible on the field. That has been obvious. What has been, it's tougher to quantify, is the intangible that he brings. And when they first started talking about his hunger, and Theo was praising his approach to the game and that sort of thing, I said with Mac, I'm like, you know he means it as praising of Castellanos, and he even went out of his way to say it's not a shot at the other guys, but reminding the team what hunger looks like, I don't know how you don't hear that as a indictment of the other players or Joe Madden as the culture setter.
Is reminding us what hunger looks like.
That is a... And they keep doubling it down, and Jesse Rogers has the quotes on ESPN, but Rizzo was talking about taking a mild amount of offense to that, being like, listen, Castellanos is great. He does approach the game the right way. He is reinvigorated playing for a team that means something after not sniffing the playoffs for a number of years. But none of our problems have anything to do with a lack of hunger or a lack of work ethic. And I always wonder how you quantify that thing when the new ingredient gets added to the mix, like Nick Castellanos has been.
You know it when you see it, and you know it when you feel it. I think it's absolutely an indictment, but it's also completely understandable. These are, you know, this is one of those times where we have to make the point. These are humans. This is human nature. It's a very long season. It's a difficult game. It's been a lot of time. They have won it. They have all that kind of stuff is all true. But I understand why Rizzo would get, or by the way, somebody could get pissed at that. Hear the quotes from Anthony Rizzo talking about hunger. When I hear that, I throw that out the window. We're all hungry in here. His appreciation of coming from a last-place team to a first-place team is how I look at it. He's very appreciative of this. But as far as hunger, we're all hungry in here. When I read that, it's not necessarily that I love seeing, oh, he's hungry, because we all are. All right. So, you know, it upsets you to see that, then play hungrier. You know, go ahead. If that lights a little spark in you because you see it and you're like, oh, Mr. Tryhard over there getting all the credit, or my manager's giving him the credit. What about me over here? Or my big boss giving him the credit? Okay, you can respond to that. Feel free. Guess what? Maybe it's been missing anyway.
It's just odd to me on a team that is so talented, has experienced so much winning, was so called out publicly and shamed by how last season ended.
Mm-hmm.
Hayward a leader, Rizzo a leader, Lester a leader, Hamels, just in terms of lead by example guys, vocal, whatever, different types of leadership and respect in that clubhouse.
Different types, different levels, absolutely, all those guys.
Sure, but this is not a young team. This is not a team that doesn't know what it takes to get it done. It surprises me that that might be a problem. I don't think it should be, even though I understand human nature. Like, they're not the defending World Series champs for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
They were shamed. They don't have a big lead in the division. They can't win on the road.
I think if they had had more consistent production from the worst four guys in the lineup on a daily basis, it might not be as much of a factor. But
yeah.
But all these guys have to play at like the peak of their abilities. They all have to have really, really good years for this offense to work. all the big guys, I mean. I mean, and Rizzo is not. Rizzo's got a .397 on base percentage since, what, June 16th, but he only has two homers, and there are big think pieces written about it, and we talked about it earlier about how he's not getting enough done. That's because you need them to get it done because there are not other guys showing up to carry things often enough. So you need them hungry. You need that edge every single damn day.
I struggle with that. Like, did they not have edge last night because Castellanos hits a homer, or is it just they aren't hitting lefties and it was another bad game where the offense doesn't show up because they are flawed and hitting a baseball is hard?
I don't know.
Is that edge?
I don't know.
You know, and I just, but it's, I think that Theo, the first thing with getting Castellanos was he crushes lefties and we don't. Mm-hmm. I think that was the first thing.
But don't you think the effect has been, even on us as we watch, and as Joe has said, on the players, is to see this dude going all out and playing balls out and just the way he does everything, it's like it's refreshing.
Yeah, and I think that there's baseball history to that, right? There is precedent for adding the player who hasn't won to the team that has in order to not allow complacency to set in.
Time and time again. Like, you add that new guy, and sometimes it's a call-up. Sometimes it's a kid. In this case, they've got a couple of those guys. You've got Hap coming back with something to prove, right?
Yep.
That's one of them. And then you've got Castellanos, the new guy, who's like, oh, you know, I haven't won in a long time. I won in high school. I remember that. That was fun. All right, now I'd like to win on this level. That would be really neat if I could. Or I guess right at the very beginning of his Tigers career, he was a small part on some decent teams.
Yeah.
But, like those Yankees, those dynastic Yankees teams of the late 90s, and they had their core of Posada and Jeter and Bernie and Pettit and Mariano, Wetland before Mariano. They had their guys, but they would bring in a well-placed veteran. You know, they would bring in a guy looking to get it done, or they'd bring up a kid. They'd bring up one of their kids and be like, oh, my God, now we're adding this into the mix. I remember Alfonso Soriano was one of those young guys added into the mix at a certain point along that Yankees dynasty. Like, you add in one of these guys who's hungry as hell, and it gives you just that little energy / edge boost that you need every once in a while.
Yeah, and whether it's a young guy who's hungry as hell or a veteran that you want to do it for, like, part of that 2016 Cubs magic was mm-hmm. the respect for David Ross and knowing it was his last season and wanting to send him out a winner. The Astros did it with Carlos Beltran. Some teams don't really need it as much because their motivation is getting there and not winning, right? Like, when I was covering the Royals in 14 and 15, that 15 team came out so motivated after losing in Game 7
sure.
that they were blitzing through the division, and then it was they added Zobrist and Cueto. That wasn't for, you know, a kick in the ass or edge or anything like that. That was shoring up holes to make a run for it. Mm-hmm. You were talking about Francona earlier in Cleveland. Even if they would start slow, there was never a question of motivation after they lost in Game 7 and 16.
Yeah.
So it's the teams that win that maybe need more of it. I'm just surprised we're this far removed from 2016 and we're still talking about that with the Cubs.
You know, but when somebody comes in and they can also just remind you of your good fortune, remind you of like, oh, man, I'm on a good team in a good spot. This is supposed to be fun, you know, and like and it raises it. I have seen it time and time again in the music world, Danny, where like, you know, a musician comes to sit in and he's a badass and he's like, oh, this is great. This is a fun stage to be on. And he plays great and everybody plays a little better. Everybody pays a little more attention. They listen a little bit better. They want to impress each other. I mean, that's a very natural thing which can have a short bump. You know, we've seen it with managers, the new manager bump. Now, sometimes it doesn't last and the truly great teams or the great bands or whatever, like that's what ends up lasting.
Sure.
Is if you're good enough, but go ahead and ride that bump for a little while.
Well, and there's also a number of Cubs that matter who have never missed the playoffs, right? When you talk about Castellanos, gets to the playoffs, thought he would be back every year, hasn't sniffed it in years since.
Mm-hmm.
That is a profile that's a very common story. Chris Bryant never missed the playoffs. Right?
Yeah.
Almora never missed the playoffs.
Birthright.
Contreras never missed the playoffs. There's lots of core guys on this team that if they made their debut in 15 or 16, mm-hmm. all they know is 90-plus win seasons and playoff berths. So pointing out to them, like, hey, you know, the grass isn't always greener. Appreciate mm-hmm. this while you're here. I guess there is some intrinsic value in that.
You know, the thing is, like, there are a lot of really smart teams and smart organizations that have tried to quantify, like, the personality thing. And I remember trying to tell people, like, you know, back when Theo took over here, like, and we were talking about Carmine, what they had in Boston, the scouting, you know, system that they had in Boston, that there was a component that they had for makeup in there. Like, they know that they can't put a number on it, but they still try to put a number on it. Shepa brought back in this Astro Ball book today, and there's this thing in here where Jeff Lunau, the Astros boss, has forever been trying to quantify the things that they can't figure out. They called it the David Ross factor. That, like, whatever that is that a certain teammate can bring, how can we identify what that is, target it, and acquire it at a certain time and add it to a mix, you know? And so it ties in. Maybe they didn't realize they were getting that with Castellanos. And I think that's what's gone on, is they targeted him because dude hits lefties. We really need that. He hits lefties. He can play at positions where we could use him. And he's a different kind of hitter, can make some contact. He's a doubles guy, so I'll be great. And then they're like, oh, wow, he also has this personality and this verve. I mean, there's quotes in this Roger Jesse piece that you're talking about. People, you know, mentioning him like Baez, comparing him to Baez in terms of just the passion and the way he goes about the thing.
Which it's a storyline for the season, and Lawrence will have him, by the way, with Derek Holland at the On Deck series at Brickhouse Tavern next Tuesday. So be listening to that. Joe will join him from the golf tournament on Monday. Mm. But it's something that I would be fascinated to hear him talk about long form on, just this idea of edge and what he assigns that value. Like, how much of his makeup does he think that matters for? Because to hear the Cubs talk about it, it's a great deal of value. And it's one of the many things in baseball that I find interesting because it's impossible to quantify. We talk about value of a manager.
That'll
impossible
do it.
To quantify. Mm-hmm. But these are things that are the biggest stories of this Cubs season. Speaking of something between the ears, fun game for Hamels tonight. First game back in Philly.
Absolutely. And coming off a bad one, too.
Yep.
So Cole Hamels going. I know Zach Zabin and Cubs pregame is coming up next. And Hamels going there, and Philly's just a weird situation. Jake Arrieta now pretty much out for the year, said he basically is. And they've got a weird situation with ownership unhappy, a manager on the hot seat, and the Cubs better take advantage of it tonight.
If you missed the news, also Jason Heyward scratched from the lineup, so Tony Phelps batting leadoff now. Heyward, knee inflammation day-to-day, and the White Sox, winners of now 2 of 3 against the Astros after a bottom-of-the-8th, tie-breaking grand slam home run.
13-9, man. It's one I wish I was watching, frankly, but instead I had to do this with you.
Sorry about that.
No, actually, this was a blast. Thank you, man. It was very fun to be here today. And yesterday, thank you to Tanny and Shep for being so welcoming.
You got some cool Tributo shows coming up.
Yes, Tributosaurus paying our homage to Woodstock.
That's awesome.
Tomorrow night, 50th anniversary, doing like 19 different bands in the context of it. So that's it, Martyrs. That's sold out. Wire on Friday, I don't think is quite sold out. And then I'll be around for Inside the Clubhouse Saturday morning, Bruce Levine. Sunday morning on Hit and Run, our old friend, record producer, baseball fanatic, Steve Albini, coming in to do the 10 o'clock hour with me on Sunday. That should be fun.
That'll be amazing. Speaks, always good hanging with you, man.
You too, man. Thank you.
Thank you to Nick Shepkowski and Chris Tannehill. Fantastic work, as always. John Morosi was our only guest. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Danny Parkins. This is McNeil and Parkins on The Score.
Max Crosby, Eastern Michigan, 780,000. Baby girl, what's your name? Let me talk to you, let me buy you a drink. I'm T-Pain, you know me. Convict music, nappy boy, ooh-wee. I'ma buy you a drink. Wee. Let me think at home with me. I got money in the bank. Shawty, what you think like that? Find me in the gray Cadillac. We in the bed like, ooh, 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 me in the bed like.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.